Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Yes. Amen. If you're happy, I want you to high five your neighbor. Tell them it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. There is a song we used to sing. I used to sing a long, long time ago, and I just felt like I needed to sing this song. If you know it, you can join me. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is mighty joy. I will linger and I will stay in your presence day by day. Lest your likeness may be seen within me. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is a mighty joy. I will linger and I will stay in your presence day by day. And as your likeness, so it may be seen within me. Can you sing with me? In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is a mighty joy. I will linger and I will stay in your presence day by day. Touch your likeness, it may be seen within me. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you will be saved, you will be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved, you'll be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Hallelujah, Lord, we worship you. We honor you. We lift up your name, so God. There is no one like you, Jesus. We're in this place, Father, to extol you, to exalt you. We're in this house, Father, recognizing your power and your glory in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, because you were in the beginning. You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Father God, we come here to honor you, to lift up your name. Father God, even to shower you with praises, oh Father. We pray that our bodies and our lives shall be living sacrifices, one that is holy and acceptable before you. Thank you, Heavenly Father God. I pray that your Spirit will move in this place, convicting our hearts today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because your word is alive. Thank you, Father, because your word is active. Thank you, Father, because your word is powerful. What can we do without your word? We depend upon you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to break it down into our spirit. And we worship you, we honor you, Father. I pray that, Father, we shall be captive to the instruction of the Holy Spirit today, that we may hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to the church. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you shall use my mouthpiece as an instrument to deliver your word to us in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit of the living God, I submit myself to you. I commit my life to you in the name of Jesus. Be thou glorified. Be thou glorified in this place. Be thou honored in this place. Be thou exalted in this place. Be extolled from the bottom of our hearts. We honor you, King of Peace. We honor you, Almighty Jehovah. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you, Jesus. You're honorable in all that you do. We exalt you and we bless your name. Who is like unto you? We worship you, Father. Blessed be unto your holy name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's my delight to bring the word of the Lord, and I believe that the Lord has protected each one of you, and I believe that he has cared for each one of you. It's amazing what the Lord has done in our lives, and it is important for us to recognize his presence, ever present, his ever present help in our lives, his consistent presence in our lives. Without his power, we cannot do anything. Nothing can we achieve without his help. We are helpless without his power. We depend upon him to provide for us. And when I think about what he has done, I can only honor him with my time. I can only honor him with my life, to commit my life unto him that he may download his power within me. Praise the Lord. He has sustained each one of us. Praise the Lord. I would like us to turn our Bibles into the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. 2 Kings, chapter number 4. Now the book of 1 Kings is right after the book of 2 Samuel. It's in the Old Testament. And if you're there, can you say amen? 2 Kings chapter number 4, verse number 1. If you're there, can you say a big amen? If you're not there, can you say wait for me? If you don't have a Bible, you can check on the screens. We have the word of God written down there. And I'll read the word of the Lord. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Ask somebody sitting next to you, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Somebody say, a jar of oil. Verse number 3, then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty the vessels and do not gather just a few. In other words, go and gather many vessels. Get as many vessels as you can. Praise the Lord. And verse number 4, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now when it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and your sons live on the rest. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a very familiar portion of scripture. And I know once in a while, or you have been in a meeting where this preaching has taken place. But this morning, the Spirit of the Lord has downloaded some good stuff in my spirit in order for us to eat this day. Praise the Lord. We all know when Jesus came here on earth, started his ministry when he was about 33 years, and he was in a haste to accomplish the purpose for which God sent him here on earth. And we know very clearly what the purpose of Christ was here on earth. His purpose was to go to the cross to redeem you and to redeem me. Praise God. And he performed his purpose perfectly. He appointed his disciples and he taught them because he wanted to impart some good stuff into them so that they can propagate the course of his ministry long after his mission was accomplished, which was to go to the cross of Calvary. You all know that the things that Jesus did were extraordinary. That he opened up blind eyes and he healed the lame and he healed the sick and he was compassionate. He raised up the dead. And we read that, and when we read that, it fills us with awe of what Jesus Christ did. And at one point, as Jesus was being ushered into his ministry, he comes into where John was baptizing people. And Jesus submits himself unto John, and he is baptized by John. And immediately after he is baptized, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus. And immediately after the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, he declares that, you know, I've been anointed. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to all humanity. And Jesus retreats into some sort of a wilderness where he is tested by the enemy, by the devil. Now, Jesus goes to the cross and he is nailed and he is punished and he dies on that old rugged cross. But Jesus, just before he dies, he gives a set of instruction. And he says things like, you know, I'm just about to die and I'm just about to reunite with my Father, but when I leave this earth, I'm not going to leave you destitute. But I'm going to leave you with a helper. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to energize you. When the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to teach you great things. When the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to be an enabler. He is going to cause you to do greater things than I did. Praise be to God. We all know the miracles that Jesus did, but he says, when the helper comes, somebody say helper. When the helper comes, he will cause you to perform greater miracles than I did. Praise be to God. And we are able to see the display of this power when Jesus Christ is already died, he is resurrected, and he is gone to be with his Father seated on the right hand side of the Father interceding for you and me, and the disciples are ready to carry on. They are holding the baton and ready to propagate the gospel. And we see that the Bible says, Jesus tells them, you shall go into Jerusalem and you shall tarry into the upper room. And when you are there, immediately after you are there, power will come upon you. Praise be to God. And the Holy Spirit comes. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter number 1 verses 8, when you read there, that the whole building shook, and there was such a great wind that came into that building, and tongues appeared on everybody who was on that room, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when they are coming out of that upper room, Peter speaks without even a microphone, and he speaks with boldness. And the Bible tells us, as he speaks, you know, 3,000 people comes and joins them, and they surrender their lives unto the Lord. Praise be to God. You will receive power. And when that power comes upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. You will be my witnesses in Judea. And you will be my witnesses in Samaria. You will be my witnesses in all parts of the earth. Praise be to God. I want you to know that you have that power. I don't even care whether you don't recognize it, but the fact of the matter is you have that power in you. That power is resident in your life. Praise be to God. You may act like you may not even recognize that you have it, but what I know is that when you receive Jesus, he fills you with that power. And that power is like a time bomb. You may not even recognize it, but that power within you might be in a small enclosure. But when we activate that power, it is like a bomblet that destroys things. Praise be to God. He has empowered you. Praise be to Jesus. I want you to say that I am empowered. You are empowered because the Spirit of Christ lives and resides in our hearts today. Praise be to God. The Bible says that the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, that could not allow Jesus to stay inside that grave. The Spirit of God that could not allow death to hold him on that sepulcher. The Spirit of God that could not allow Jesus to just sleep there in that grave. That Spirit lives in us. And you know what the Bible says? That it energizes, it strengthens your mortal bodies. Praise be to God. That is why sometimes when you're sick, something is happening within you and you don't know what is happening, and you just feel the energy coming all suddenly upon your life. That's why sometimes you may need clarity in your mind and you need direction concerning certain thing that you might be pursuing. But the Spirit of God residing in you empowers you to see clarity, empowers you to remove all the blurriness in your life. Glory be to Jesus. The Bible calls us peculiar people. The Bible calls us more than conquerors. Why do you think the Bible gives you such labels? That is a very high title that the Bible gives us as children of God. More than conquerors. It gives us that title because of what is in us. Oh, glory be to Jesus. If only we can know what resides in us. Sometimes we can walk and fail to recognize what Christ has done. And sometimes we can walk and fail to recognize the enormity of that power that resides in us. And that power requires to be activated in order to be operative in our lives. Now, how do we activate that power? Now, you know that most of you have a debit card, right? Right? And on that debit card, written on it is an expiration date, right? Now, what happens when the expiration date is done? What does the bank do? Come on now. What do? They send you another card, right? And then, can you just go ahead and use that card without doing? There's something you have to do. What do you do it? You have to activate it. In other words, you receive some instructions from the bank, and they tell you
Once you receive this card, call from your home phone number, call the bank so that we know that you have it. And once you call it, you are free to use that card. Glory be to Jesus. Let me tell you, the mission of the enemy, the Bible tells us that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to do what? To destroy. To kill. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, this is exactly what happens. The enemy is in the business right now in the Church of Jesus Christ, trying to delude Christians and trying to tell them or trying to convince them of the insignificance of the power that resides inside of us. That is his business today. And he is using every kind of a demon. He is using people to come and try to show you how insignificant of the power that you have. Praise be to God. I wish somebody knows and recognizes that what God has deposited in us, you may not be able to see it with your physical eyes. You may not even have to feel some goosebumps in order to know that you have it. But this is the confidence that I know, that as long as I've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that power is within me. And when I connect myself with that power, I'm able to make strides that I'm not able to make on my own. I'm able to go farther. That power energizes my mortal body. That power brings a healing into my life. That power is able to give me clarity and an open mind so that I may know exactly what the purpose of God is for my life. Now, how do we activate that power? Now, Jesus, as you remember in the book of John, chapter number 4, she meets a woman by the pool, and this woman, and they have a conversation with Jesus. And I don't want to dwell so much on that, but eventually, during the conversation, Jesus tells this woman, a time has come where the Lord is seeking, where the true worshipers must worship God in truth and in the spirit. Now, how are we going to worship God in truth and in the spirit? We cannot please God without faith. Now, faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not sin. There is no way we can connect with our Father without faith. We cannot just come just fleshly and just without recognizing who He is unless and or until we invoke the concept of faith. And Jesus says, if you have just a small seed, you know, a mustard seed type of a faith, you can speak to this mountain and you can tell it to move from this place and go be thrown into the sea. It is paramount and it is important and it is necessary for us to have faith if we want to activate that power that is within us. Praise the Lord. Slap somebody, tell them you need faith to activate that power. You need faith to activate that power. I need faith to activate that power. Now, how do I receive faith? How do you receive faith? How do you receive faith? Faith comes by? And by hearing the word. You will not receive any faith any other way. We can attend, let me tell you, you can go, we can travel, we can do many other things, but unless we have an access to where the word of God is being preached to us or the word of God is getting into our minds, that is the only time when faith is going to come into our lives, man of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order for us to activate that potential that is locked within us, we would need the concept. We would need faith. In order for God to please God, we cannot please Him without the concept of faith. We cannot just come to God, because God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And those that will worship God, he is looking right now. That's what Jesus said. He is in the business of looking for people who are able to recognize the concept of getting into the spirit so that we can worship him, because those who worship him must worship him in truth and in the spirit. So in order for this power to be activated, oh, glory to Jesus, we will have to activate it by faith. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 14, 15 to 31st, if you love me and keep my commands, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Praise be to God. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, verse number 27. Listen. But the anointing that you have received, the anointing that you have received from him abides in you. Oh, glory to Jesus. The anointing that you have received abides in you. In other words, the spirit that you have received abides in you. Praise be to God. And his anointing, or rather his spirit, teaches you about everything, and is true and it's not a lie, just as it has taught you to abide in him. To activate the power that lives inside of you, you need faith. We will need faith. For those that come to God must worship him in the truth and in the faith. Many times when we are serving God, we face challenges. And it is not a question of whether challenges will come. It is when those challenges will come. As long as you're living on this planet and you're serving God, or you're going about your businesses, it is a question of when challenges will come. And when those challenges come, every single time, my experience, even from the word of the Lord looks at what you have. What do you hold in your hands? You might have an idea. And when you think in your natural mind about that idea and how you can articulate it and the people that you can meet so that you can pursue or further the cause of that idea, it may not make any sense. Are you listening to me? But the Lord is asking somebody here this morning, what do you have in your hands? The Lord has an ability to take what you have, insignificant as you might think it is, and it has power to multiply when it connects itself with the power within you. What do you have in your hands? It could be an idea. It could be a friend that you know. It could be maybe a concept that you have. It could be maybe just something, some little money that you may have. It could be something that is so insignificant. And when you look at it, it doesn't make any sense. What did Moses have? God comes to Moses and he asks Moses, what do you have in your hands? All that he had was a simple branch of a tree that he had cut, you know, from somewhere. And God says, that stuff that you hold in your hand, you may not have realized what that stuff, when you held it, it was just a shepherd's staff. But when God touches it, it ceases from becoming a shepherd's staff. Glory be to Jesus. That's the difference. That you might have a concept that is insignificant, but when God touches it, it ceases from becoming an insignificant concept, and now it is a God concept. Are you listening to me, church? What do you have in your hands? The Bible says that the beginnings shall be small. Even though your beginnings shall be small, but your ending shall be greater. The thing is, what you do with the small beginning and the large expected ending that you're looking forward for. In between here, God needs to connect with your small beginning. And when he connects with your small beginning, it ceases from becoming a small beginning. Because when God touches it, even though your eyes may conclude and might, with your natural mind, you might dismiss it as a small beginning, yet God sees humongity. He sees enormity. He sees success. He sees victory. The difference between your idea is when God touches it, it ceases becoming your idea. It becomes God's idea. And that's what happened to Moses. God demonstrated his power through a shepherd's staff. A piece of a rod that Moses used to do to take care of the sheep of his uncle. And he would go and throw that rod and it would turn up into a snake that swallowed all the Pharaoh snakes. Just a simple staff that he had. What happened when Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000? What did he have? He asked his disciples, anybody has, do you know where we can buy food, you know, so we can feed these people? They're hungry. Do you know where we can buy food? Now, I would excuse you if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ at the time to think that Jesus was crazy. Because before us, there are thousands upon thousands of people. And Jesus is in a wilderness. There was no restaurants in the day. And there was no shops that we could go buy groceries to feed all these people. But all that he had was a simple lunch. Simple lunch. And Jesus says, and the disciples said, oh, we have a little boy here who has just a simple lunch. Simple lunch. In our eyes, we might see that as a simple lunch. Oh. But when God touches it, he sees a production that is from all the KFCs, all the productions from the Chili's, all the productions from what do you call those restaurants? Grand Buffet. All the food is being delivered there to feed these 5,000 people. So what do you have in your hand? The idea is small in your eyes. The concept might be small in your eyes. Oh yes, faith is calling those things that are not as if they are. And I told God to help my understanding. Because what I don't want to concentrate on what I see. Because what I see might be insignificant. What my eyes will see might be small. But I want to get hold of the concept of faith. For faith is calling those things that are not as if they are. We might not have filled all these chairs here. But you know, how many of you know that there are people who are supposed to come and fill these seats? God would not have given us these seats if he knew that he didn't have people out there. And we have to start proclaiming and declaring in the name of Jesus, I have faith. I call them wherever they are. I call them wherever they could be. Prepare us, Lord, because there is a great rain that is coming. Glory be to Jesus. And Elisha visits this woman. She was a pastor's woman. She was a pastor's wife. And it seems that the husband was busy tending for the work of the ministry. And in the course of adjudicating the purposes in the course of the ministry, he ran into debt. And how many of you can identify with this man? He is a man who was in the council of the prophets. And the Bible says he ran into debt. And he had some family. He had a family, right? And how many of you don't have any debt? So many of us have debt, right? And sometimes in our time, at some point in our lives, we've struggled and we've wondered, God, can you give me some money so that I can pay this debt? You know, you've worked two jobs, you've worked three jobs. I can identify with this woman. And this man was busy serving the Lord. But a time came when he died. And in those days, what they used to do, if you had a debt, they would come and get your sons or your daughters. You would come and get your children. And they would go and work those children for a number of years, actually about 6 years, until the debt would be paid. Can you imagine that? If you had a debt and Capital One, if that's the capital that owes you, says, oh, I'm coming to take your child. And I'm going to employ that child. Maybe make her mop my offices until that debt is paid. But in the seventh year, according to the law of the day, they were supposed to release those people. So that is exactly what was supposed. I mean, this woman was in a tragedy. She just immediately lost her husband. And now, not only the fact that she had lost her husband, she has a debt that the husband incurred, or they incurred while they were living together, and she is trying to figure out whether how to feed her children in the midst of this big insurmounting debt. And you know what? It looks like she had tried to talk with her creditors to give her time, you know? And her creditors somehow did not even want to listen to her. All they needed was their money. And so they said, okay, we have an idea. We are going to come and take your children, and you're going to employ them in hard labor until all the debt would be paid, and then we'll probably give back your sons. This lady was faced with pressure. You talk about pressure. I know. Let me tell you guys. You know now, there are things that our parents used to do. And they would do certain things, you know, they would go through financial problems and we would not even know. Your parents, you know, like, now I recall days when my father, you know, he had only one pair of pants. You know, and I wondered why, you know, I would wonder why he wouldn't even buy another pants, you know. But he was going through some financial problems and difficulty, trying to take us to school. I had five siblings. All of us, and my dad was just a simple school teacher, you know, with a just simple, I mean, you, some of you know that the salary for the teachers was not a lot. And he had to divide that money as to, my mother was at home, you know, trying, she was a housewife. And my dad did all these things by himself. Now, when I'm in his position now, I'm able to look back and understand, oh my goodness, I don't even know how my dad did it, you know? And that's why, guys, listen, it is good once in a while, if you have a parent, call them. If you have some money, send them $50 sometimes. Send them $100. They cared for you. They went through so much in order for you to be where you are today. You understand you have children too. And you struggle. Maybe you might be having some struggles here and there, and God brings a breakthrough once in a while. But sometimes, you know, you want to make it. Think about it. Back in the day when they had five children, you only have one or two. And you complain. And they had seven. Even 10. Even 13. And they all had to be taken to school. Guys, let me tell you, we really need to be picking up your phone. Even if you don't have any money, just call, pick up the phone and ask how they are doing. The Lord is going to bless you when you do that. Do not think that you know you have arrived and that everything is going to be well. Let me tell you, when you neglect your parents, everything is in a circle. It will come around and haunt you. Pick up the phone, call your mother, your daddy if he's still alive. Be thankful that if he's still alive. Your brothers, get to know how they're doing. Do you think that it was by your ability that you went to the American embassy and you got a visa? It is by the favor of God. How many people do you think in the world are trying to come to the United States of America? Even try to fill out the green card and they cannot even make it. Do you even feel for you? You apply for your brothers and sisters and every year they don't get it. But you just went once and you got it. It is favor. You know, you are a Joseph in this country. When Joseph went to Egypt and his brothers came, he never chased them away. Actually, it was so. He said, you know what? It was okay for you to sell me. To sell me to be a servant in Egypt. It was the will of God, because see what the Lord has done. When the Lord has blessed you, remember your kindred. Remember your relatives. Remember your father. Remember your mother. And so this woman, she was faced with a conundrum, you know, a difficult situation. I have lost my husband. I have debt. I have two sons. I don't even know how to feed them. My husband was fully committed to God. You know, I would excuse this woman if she would even wonder, does God really care? Is it really worthy to, you know, to spend my life, my entire life to serve the Lord? And maybe she had those questions. Because how would God have allowed her husband to completely and diligently be, actually he was in the council of the prophets. He was telling out the future according to how the Lord would send messages to him. How would my husband completely commit his life, and here we are in debt? And I don't even have food. Can you imagine? What do you have in the house? She said, I have nothing. Have you ever felt like this woman? Do you have any idea how you would need to do this business? I am empty. I don't have nothing. I have nothing. Do you have even an idea how we can build up this organization? I'm empty. I cannot even think. They're trying to fire you from your place of work. Why do you think they've been trying to accuse you? Every single Harry and Dick comes to accuse you. It's like you're the black sheep of that company. They're trying to get rid of you. Why? What do you think we can do? I don't know what I can do, Pastor. It is okay. But I thank God that if she didn't have anything, she had the greatest of all. My God. The Bible says, I have nothing. Somebody say nothing. Except a jar of oil. Oil represents the Spirit of the Lord. Oil represents the living Spirit of the Lord. I better have nothing at all. I better have nothing at all. Nothing that is tangible. But if I have the Spirit of the living God within me. Ah, gee. If I have the Spirit of the living God, and if only I can activate the power within me, if only I can call from my home phone number and tell God I realize what I have within me, there is potential in that power. Glory be to Jesus. But there was some work still to do. I strongly believe that even when we have orphans and widows in our midst, I believe that we have a responsibility to identify them and help them. I believe also the community has a responsibility to help the orphans and the widows. It is our responsibility, because the Bible says that he is going to be the father to the fatherless. He is father to the fatherless. And he becomes a husband even to those that don't have any husbands. Yes, to the widowers, to the widows. And so he tells this woman, I want you to go and knock to your neighbors. Somebody say your neighbors. She was in a community. You know, she had some friends, and that's why she had to go and knock into the doors of her neighbors. Oh, I have a man of God just giving me. I don't even know whether she had time to explain her story. It takes faith when you know that all you got is a simple jar of oil and a simple instruction is all that you got between you and the next miracle. Think of, put yourself in her shoes. I don't have anything. I don't have food. I'm in debt. My husband is dead. And all that I can cling to is an instruction from a man of God. Samankula Shanda. Thank you. All I have is an instruction from a man of God. And I don't even know whether this is going to work. And she goes, knocks into the first house. She knocks. Somebody opens the door, and they're looking, oh, this is the woman whose husband died the other day. Can I have some empty jars? And I can see, what do you need them for? You give me an empty jar. That is exactly what the man of God told me to bring. She must have had faith. She activated her faith to her next destiny. And she knocked into the doors. I see the sons knocking the doors. The sons also had faith from the men of God. Praise be to God. Let me tell you, when you have a man of God that you can honor, it is good to hear from them, because you never might know what the Lord is speaking to that man of God concerning your life. Glory be to Jesus. Gone, let gone to be the days whereby we dishonor the men of God in our midst. All she had was a simple jar of oil and some instruction. And when she brings it back, the servant of God told her to close the door behind her. And this was supposed to be a private miracle. How many of you know that there are things that you go through in your life and you don't want even to pour your what do you call it? To wash your dirty linens in public. There are things that you go through in life, and you know what? You want to guard those things, and you are saying in your heart, God, I want you to come for me, because I don't, if this thing is exposed, I'm going to be put to shame. For your name's sake, Lord, let this be a personal miracle. And how many of you know that there are certain things that God comes and to do in your life, and you know
that this must have been God. God intervened in this case. God intervened in the case of my child. God intervened in the case of my wife. God intervened in the case, in this case where they tried to accuse me. God has intervened in this case when they tried to fire me. God has intervened to me when they want to foreclose on my home. God has intervened me when they wanted to come and tow my car. God intervened. And you know in your knower for sure that it is. Were it not for God, nobody else. And sometimes there are miracles that God does in your life and you don't want to share with people because people might not even understand. And that is okay. It is good for people not to understand what your experience is, every single one of your experiences, because there is power. And when you have tapped into that power, let me tell you something. God will never leave you desolate. And she begins to pour oil. And she begins to pour oil. She begins to pour oil. The little insignificant jar of oil that she thought that this was. In those days, they used to have a little bit of anointing oil because they used to use it as medicine. They used to use it to cook. They used to use it, you know, for many purposes. So a home would have even a little oil. Oil. Church, listen to me. This is very, very important. I want to speak to your hearts. You could lose everything. You could lose your credit. And when they try to run your credit, your FICO score is even below poor. You know what they call the term as poor FICO score? And when you're trying to apply for anything, you don't qualify. You've lost all your money. You lost all your connections. You lost all your friends. You may have lost all the things that you thought were important in your life. But as long as there is that power inside of you, as long as the Spirit of God resides in you, there is still a chance to overcome your handicaps. There is still a chance to make it again. Praise the Lord. And all we need is to reconnect with that power. All we need is to reactivate that power again. And you'll be walking tall in a few minutes. And people who thought that you were this completely annihilated, people who thought you were already dead, will be surprised when they see your head up just because you activated the power within you. Are you listening to me? Faith is calling those things that are not as if they are. I don't know what you're dealing with today. I don't know what challenges you faced today. I don't even know when you sleep and you have all these things crossing your mind. You're tossing in your bed and you're wondering, God, when is the ending of this thing going to be? Is there an expiration date to this problem that I've been going through? Is there really an expiration date, God? Do I have to go through this thing every single day? Do I have to go through? Is there an ending? Is there an ending, Lord? It might be maybe a relationship. It might be an issue with your child. It might be a place, you know, somebody at your work. And you're fighting. And you're asking, is there going to be an end to this? The answer that I have for you is yes. And the way I can qualify that yes is when we activate the power within us. Praise be to God. Without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot even work for God. Without faith, because there's things that the Lord sometimes is going to ask you, they're not going to make any sense. The things that the Lord is going to ask you to do will defy logic. They will defy the natural inclinations of your mind. And when he asks you to do certain things, you would have to connect with a higher power in order to accomplish those things. Are you listening to me? And so this woman, all the jars were full. And the man of God tells her, you are going to sell this oil and you're going to pay all your debt. And the rest of the money that you have, you can leave with your sons. Still, she had some job to do. She had to think about how to market the oil and to sell it so that she can have some money, right? So even as we activate our faith, faith without works is useless. Now listen to me. There are sometimes, you know, when we want to just invoke faith and we say, and we can speak even in many languages, but faith without works is a dead faith. You know,
Let the Lord put a concept into your heart. It might be an incredible, incredibly complicated concept. But when you have faith, God is able to show you who to connect with and what to do with that complicated concept so that it can bring a happy ending at the end of the day. Are you listening to me? With your natural mind, it is impossible sometimes even to tell out or to kind of split this concept that you may have. It might be an idea. You're trying to rethink and to, you're looking at on the left-hand side, you're looking at it on the right-hand side, you are turning it around, but it doesn't make any sense. But when God touches it, ooh, man, it becomes a God idea, and it blesses you. It makes you succeed. It makes you to be successful. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. The last few weeks, I've been pumping my mind, pumping my mind with the word. I've been listening to people that have blessed me in the past, and I want to listen to their concept. What makes them great? The other day I was listening to an audio tape. I mean, it was a CD, actually. And it was Bishop Jakes. He was interviewing the pastor of the fastest growing church. You know who it is? Joel Osteen. And he was asking Joel Osteen, what causes your ministry to really grow like this? And Joel Osteen, simple, you know how he talks, simply. He said, Bishop, the guy is so humble. He says, I feel like I'm not even worthy to be interviewed by you. And yet, he is the pastor of the fastest growing church. And this is what he says. I think I don't even know why that church grows other than the finger of God upon it. But I have a few ideas, only two. He says, I know my father fought the battle for me. So I'm walking on already conquered territory. And that's why God is giving me victory. Number two, I think this work began to grow when I started becoming myself and allowed the Holy Spirit to just take over. In other words, he allowed himself to become himself, and he also says, when I allowed the Spirit of God to connect with my simplicity. Now, most of you know that Joel Osteen, he just gives a message of hope, and he preaches good, and he is so humble. But just because he has connected, he has decoded the code. See, you have the code within you, and all we need to make things work in our lives is know how to decode that complicated code. And that's the only time we are going to activate it. My goodness. Let me tell you, things like when your child is sick, or things like children acting up, when you know that what you have inside of you, you don't even have to call me. All you got to do is say, I connect with that thing that is inside of me. And I declare that my children are not gonna be defeated. I declare there's not going to be any stupidity in this house. I declare that I'll have clarity in what I'm thinking about. I declare that I'll be successful in what I do. I declare that money will not be stolen from my company. I declare that I will succeed, that the people I speak to, they will regard me as a woman or a man of influence. My God, that's all we need. All you need is connect with the power of God inside of you, because there's no way you could have deposited. You think that he's going to send the angels to come and preach the gospel? No. He is sending us. See, listen. Elijah, and I'm concluding now. Elisha, God spoke to him about the nation of Israel. And he said, I would like you to anoint Jehu as a king. Do you know who Jehu was, man? If you know who Jehu was just a commander in the army of Israel. He had never at any one time thought that he would become a king. He didn't have no interest whatsoever. Think about it. He didn't have, because the people of the land, they were under Ahab and a woman called Jezebel. They were under the influence of Jezebelic spirit that was taunting the men of God and killing them. And God, as he ranges his eyes throughout the face of the earth, He is doing that right now. Somebody who is ready to commit himself to the Lord. His eyes land on Jehu. And he says, this is the man that I would like to anoint as king of Israel. And when prophet Elisha sent one of his prophets to go and anoint Jehu, he found them with the council of other commanders. And he says, I want to talk to you. He says, me?
What do you have with me? You know, what have I done? I'm just a commander, member of the army.
Listen, church, I feel in these last days, God is going to pinpoint of you, and you maybe you have looked down on yourself, and he's going to elevate you to a position of influence just because of what is inside of you. When you connect with the inside of you, God is ready to usher us to the next level of destiny in the name of Jesus. And so he comes to Jehu, and he tells Jehu, I've been sent by the man of God, and he has sent me to come and anoint you. And he told him, come. And Elisha follows him. I mean, Jehu follows the servant that Elisha had sent. And he pours the same oil into Jehu. Man, that guy was converted. The Jehu that people knew was no longer the same. Actually, when he goes back to the council of his commanders, they ask him, what did that maniac say? That madman. And you know what Jehu said? Oh, you know this, how these mad people, they are like, they act like mad people. So that shows you that he didn't even have some fear of God. He said, you know these maniac people? But let me tell you, when he was anointed, the Bible says that he trembled, he felt the presence of Jehovah, and that converted him. And you know, he got into his chariot, the Bible says that he ran like a mad person. He ran like a mad person going to pursue Ahab and Jezebel. And when they came towards him, he says, hey, what have you come with all these chariots? He said, have you come in the name of peace? What are you talking about, peace? What peace are you talking about? Men who did not even know, have or any other connection with God, but just because of connecting with the Spirit of the living God, God changes him, and he is able to change the whole environment and the culture of the people, destroying the people who are destroying. Let me tell you, in this land, every time I hear about homosexuality and lesbians, it grieves my spirit. My God, let me tell you, there has nothing in my life that grieves me like that. When I listen to the radio, even the president commenting or the White House commenting on somebody who is an NBA player, I mean, they say, oh, I've just decided to come out in the open and declare that I'm gay. It grieves my heart. And you know what? The whole president of the United States talks to those people. Let me tell you, America, God is calling on us. And God is going to come and pour his spirit on a simple people who are going to, when the spirit of God is poured upon you, man of God, people may not even know you. You may not know even your address. You may have even a name that they cannot be able to pronounce. But when they pour God pours your oil upon you, we are able to kneel down and say, God, not in my day. We are not going to allow homosexuality. We are not going to allow the abomination of the Lord God in my territory. Are you listening to me? It grieves my spirit. And I don't know what I need to do about it. I pray, but I feel like I'm not doing it enough. Yeah, it really grieves my spirit. Everybody tried to come in the open, and now it's like the order of the day. During those days, if anybody came and declared that he is a LGBT, nobody even would want to associate with them. Nowadays, if somebody says he's an LGBT, they want to welcome them so that they can see that we are promoting equality and human rights. What human rights are you talking about when God, that is an abomination from the Lord? I am praying for somebody who is going to give themselves to the Spirit of God and connect themselves to the Spirit of God and say, not in my time. The Bible says that one can chase 1,000, but two? If God can put just as that spiritual anger in every one of us, how many demons do you think we can... By the way, some of you didn't know. If you go to Lemon Street in Dallas, Sister Purity works around that area, you know, and SMU. If you want to know where the headquarters of LGBT is, it is here in Dallas. If you want to see it for yourself, so that if that is what you need for the Lord to put anger in you, just go to Lemon Street in Dallas, downtown Dallas. You will see something you have never seen. Men carrying handbags and, you know, with a big, deep voice, and they're walking like a... Let me tell you, Pastor said like a cockroach. We need to be angry. See, God said it's only a question of time before God brings judgment to this nation. We have to pray so that, you know, God, I love America because America has helped so many other countries. When there is war, no other nation on the earth says that, oh, we need to send bales of food and they are sending everything by ship and they are going. And I wonder, why do they even do that? It is because of what God has made in America. But see, the America on the other hand, on the other side, it is disintegrating by absorbing values that are anti-God. And until the church realizes what is happening, because let me tell you, it's only a question of time. In those days when Jezebel used to kill the prophets, there was perversion, but at time God was, you know, a time comes when God can take it no more. And he raises a commander of the army. And he destroys Jezebel. Actually, he fell. She was pushed by her old peers and fell on the ground, eaten by dogs. My God. I don't want to see America destroyed because I love this country. It has paid host to us. Praise the Lord. It has allowed us to live a good life. If you love something, you have to do something about it. We have to pray. Let the culture of the Lord be established in our city. And you know what? You can begin in your neighborhood. Begin in your neighborhood. Try to walk around, if you can walk around declaring as you drive. Say, God, I refuse for the spirit of the devil to hover about here. No drugs in my neighborhood. I rebuke every drug dealer in my neighborhood. Have you ever prayed such a prayer? Do you know you can invoke the presence of God even when you're driving? You can be going to work and you say, God, in this neighborhood where my car is treading, I declare there will be no drug dealers. There will not be any robbers in this neighborhood. This neighborhood is protected because I'm a child of the Lord. And if every one of us can do that in their neighborhoods, we can change our city. And if we can change our city, there will be a movement because God is just waiting for men. And God is asking, what do you have in your hands? What we have in our hands. It could be maybe a simple idea that we can do. We can begin to prayer walk in our neighborhood. You can be exercising your body and you're still praying. You know, you are exercising, but you know, and you might think you're mad. And sometimes you stop, you say, especially here. And you saw some injections. Like I went to visit somebody one time. And in fact, I was so worried that we would step on those injections. Sometimes we went to visit one of us. They were in a neighborhood. And people would use injections, I think, to inject drugs on themselves. And they'll not even throw the injections. They're everywhere. Even child children could step on them. In those neighborhoods, if you live there, bind in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Rebuke in the name of Jesus. No. Hallelujah. Do that. And God will honor it. You could be driving. It is not time when somebody cuts you on the traffic and you're almost coming out of the car to hit them on the left. Pray for them. They are under the influence. That's why they are cutting you. The spirit of the devil is hovering around the area and somebody cuts you. They are under the influence of the spirit of the enemy. And you have the solution. We have the solution. Are you listening to me? Does it make sense? When the spirit of the Lord is activated in us. Through faith, we can do wonders. Hallelujah. It's just a question of time. If we can activate whatever is inside of us, people will be attracted to us. People will be attracted to us. Why do you think Jesus, as he went along, the people who are blind would call upon his name, Jesus, son of David? It is because deep inside of him, he had the power that would attract people who needed miracle. I believe in our city. I believe in Dallas. There are people who need a people who genuinely love them. And if they would know, they would find them in Empowerment Christian Center. It is a spiritual thing. They will still come. They will come whether you invite them, they will come. Amen? But we have to be ready. Stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your spirit. Thank you, Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Lift up your right hand. I would like you to pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you asking you to help me activate the power within, to recognize the power within me, that within it there is potential, that even though my beginnings have been small, my endings shall be great. Come on, say like you mean it. My ending shall be great. My ending shall be great. I choose this day to be used by the Almighty God as an agent of the Lord to bring a God culture in my city, to bring a God culture in my neighborhood, to bring a God culture in my place of work, to bring the God culture in the highways. May you help me, Lord, in the name of Jesus, through your power, the ideas that I may have, the concepts that I have, are no longer be small, are no longer going to be small, but they are going to be great when your presence touches them. In the name of Jesus, may you help me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we present ourselves before you, my God. We honor you and we respect you and we exalt you. We thank you because your word is powerful. Your word is like a hammer that shatters a rock into pieces. Father God, we commit ourselves unto you. And Father God, we renounce mediocrity in the name of Jesus. We choose not to do the things that are mundane, things that are natural, but we choose to do things that are supernatural, to connect ourselves with the divine power in the name of Jesus. And Father, we call those things that are not as if they are. We are going to activate the movement of God within our hearts. Everybody that you bring into our life to talk to, Father God, will have influence over those people in the name of Jesus. My God, I speak promotions in our place of work. I speak the ideas to come to fruition in the name of Jesus. Those concepts that have been on the back burner for too long a time, I pray that they be brought on the front burner and they are going to be activated by your power in the name of Jesus. I pray for every family in this place. I pray that you shall cause them to be God's agents in the place of their operation in the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray for those among us that are weak. I pray that you shall strengthen us. You shall strengthen the feeble knees in our midst, O God. That we shall care for one another. That no one shall be left behind. Because we are all sons and daughters of the kingdom. We shall value and esteem each other in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we shall not allow any one of us to lay by the wayside, but we shall pick them up, oh God, as the soldiers, natural soldiers do. When one soldier is wounded, they don't leave them in the woodlands, but they carry him with them in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to see you in a new way, my God, to see you in a way that you want to use us. In a special way, my Redeemer, in the name of Jesus. Empower us to be agents of change, even in a corrupt world, in the name of Jesus. Empower us to have a holy anger in us, so that when we see the social injustices, when we see the abomination taking place in our neighborhoods and in our country, that Father God, we shall rise up with holy anger, Father God, to represent the kingdom of God. To the glory and honor of your name. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And somebody who loves the Lord say amen. 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 Give Jesus a mighty hand clap offering. Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory to God. We want to give unto the Lord.